श्री गुंडीचा मंदिरम आत्मवृंदे सम्मार्जयन क्षालनतः स गौर स्वचित्तवच्चितलम् उज्ज्वलम् च कृष्णोपवेशोपैकम् चकार। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु वॉश्ड एंड क्लेंज्ड द गुंडीचा टेम्पल विथ हिज डिवोटीज एंड एसोसिएट्स। इन दिस वे ही मेड इट एज कूल एंड ब्राइट एज हिज ओन हार्ट and thus he made the temple a befitting place for Lord Shri Krishna to sit.
Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Gaura Chandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Gan Shakti Deho Kori Jeno Chaitanya Varnan.
All glories to the devotees, O Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur. I beg their power so that I can properly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Purve Dakshino Hoite Prabhu Jobe Aila Tare Mile Te Gajopoti Utkantito Hoila.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his South India tour, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the king of Odisha, became very anxious to meet him.
Kotak hoite patri dilo sarvabhama thani prabhu ragya hoye jodi dekhi bare jai.
The king sent a letter from his capital Katak to Sarvabhama Bhattacharya entreating him to obtain the Lord's permission so that he could go and see him.
Bhattacharya likhilo prabhu ragyana hoilo punoropi raja tare potri pathailo.
Replying to the king's letter, the Bhattacharya wrote that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given permission. After this, the king wrote him another letter.
Prabhuro nikote ache joto bhakto gon mor lagi tar sobare kori ho nivedon.
In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submit this petition to them on my behalf.
Shei shob dayalu mor hona sodaye mor lagi prabhu pode koribe vinoy.
If all the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed toward me, they can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord.
Ta sobar prasade mile shri prabhuro pai prabhu kripa bina mora rajya nahi bhai.
By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me.
Jodi more kripa na koribe gaura hari rajya chhade jogi hoibo bhikhari.
If Gaurahari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg from door to door.
Bhattacharya potri dekhi chintit hoy na bhakto gano pasha gele shei potri lona.
When the Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord.
Shobare miliya kohilo raj vivarana piche shei potri shobare korailo darshan.
Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya met with all the devotees and described the king's wishes. Then he presented the letter to all of them for inspection.
Potri dekhi shobar mone hoilo vismoy prabhu pote prabhu pode goja potiro eto bhakti hoy.
Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see that the king Pratap Rudra had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Shobo kohe prabhu tare kobhu nami libe ami shobo kohi jodi dukho she manibe.
The devotees gave their opinion and said, the Lord will never meet the king, and if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy.
Sarvabhauma kohe shobo shobe cholo eko bar milite na kohibo kohibo raja vyavhar.
Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya then said, we shall go once again to the Lord, but we shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king.
Ato boli shobe gela mahaprabhur sthane kahite unmokho shobe na kahe vachane.
Having thus reached a decision, they all went to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not even utter a word.
Prabhu kahe ki kahite shobar agoman dekhiye kahite chahana koho ki karan.
After they arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, the Lord, seeing them, said, "What have you all come here to say? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason?"
Nityananda kahe tomai chahi nivedite na kahile rahito nari kahite bhoye chitte.
Nityananda Prabhu then said, "We want to tell you something. Although we cannot stay without speaking, we are still very much afraid to speak."
Joga jog tomai shobo chahi nivedite toma nami lile raja chahe jogi hoite.
We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this: unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant. Now we'll read the last verse and then we can repeat.
Kane mudra loi mui hoibo bhikhari raja bhog nohe chitte vina gaura hari.
Kane mudra, a kind of earring. Loi, taking. Mui, I. Hoibo, shall become. Bhikhari, a beggar.
Rajya bhog, enjoyment of the kingdom.
Nohe, not. Chitte, in the mind. Vina, without. Gaurahari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "The king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In India, there is still a class of professional mendicants who are very much like the gypsies of Western countries. They know some magical art and mystical processes, and their business is to beg from door to door, sometimes pleading and sometimes threatening. Such mendicants are sometimes called yogis and sometimes kanafata yogis. The word kanafata refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Maharaj Prataprudra was so depressed by not getting to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he decided to become such a yogi. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring in his ear, but that is not the sign of a real yogi. Maharaj Prataprudra also thought that to become a mendicant yogi, one must wear such an earring.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. So before I begin sharing a few thoughts, just wanted to seek permission and blessings from the seniors present here. So being inspired by these verses, I would like to discuss three topics. The first topic, and this is what I would briefly touch upon, is the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he descended on earth to spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And what better display of this than the Beda Kirtan? Now, in Bengali, the word Beda means to surround. You know, when you surround someone and don't let them escape, that's Beda. So he basically surrounded the temple of Jagannath. And he did the Sankirtan around it. So this was the original surround sound when he did his kirtan, you know. Nowadays Dolby 5.1 pales in comparison because, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti, in this it is said that the sound penetrated the 14 universes, right? Entire universe and the 14 planetary systems. So that is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that this is the kind of power of that kirtan. So not only did Mahaprabhu sing and dance in ecstasy, he freely distributed that mercy by encouraging each and every one to do so. And whenever anyone came near him, he embraced him. He encouraged them to go on dancing. And like Krishna looked at all, he was looking at all his sakhas while having prasadam, Mahaprabhu was looking at each and every one of them while they were doing sankirtan. That is the kind of inspiration he was providing to each one of them. And this is what Srila Prabhupada, following in Mahaprabhu's footsteps, has done for all of us. He has so freely distributed the mercy of Harinam to all of us that today we are sitting here by his mercy. Otherwise, who could have thought that in a country like this, you will be sitting talking Mahaprabhu Katha. So this is one topic I wanted to briefly touch on. The second topic I would like to discuss, the lessons we learn from the intense hankering of Maharaj Pratap Rudra to take darshan of Mahaprabhu and the way he went about it. So I'll give some examples from the corporate world where I work so that, you know, I'd like to relate it to the modern day and age. So suppose some of you have the desire to work with the best company on earth. Shri Shri Radha Gopalananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So suppose you had the desire to work in one of the best companies on earth. What would you do? You would go to their website, maybe, and you didn't know anything about it. You just go to the website, see the job section, scroll down and see what jobs are available. If something is fitting your profile, you'll apply for that job. If not, you'll still try your luck. You'll submit your CV on their website, right? Now, what does CV mean? CV means curriculum vitae, which is literally translates into course of life. So basically on one or two pages, you put your entire working life. And that's what you make so much effort to truncate everything that you've done, assuming you've done a lot, onto those couple of pages and then submit it onto that website. And then what happens? If you're very lucky, a recruiter will look at your CV for 6 to 7 seconds. That's it. If you're very lucky, if your CV gets looked at. Otherwise, some machine will read it, artificial intelligence. So then, you may be called, you may not be called. So what are your chances? What are the chances of success? Minimal, isn't it? So, what is there a better way? Yes? The better way is to make friends with someone senior in the organization. And then try and send your application through that person. So that's what Maharaj Pratap Rudra tried. So what he did is, he tried to convince the owner of the organization through his senior employees, right? So that's what he was trying to do. And if the owner still doesn't agree, you continue. So what do? You approach more and more people and befriend them. It's like a mercy petition when you're on death row and then you get everyone to sign for you. Please don't kill him. Right? So this is the opposite. So this is like a petition and he's going to everyone and saying, please, please, I want to see Mahaprabhu. Can you please speak for me? Can you please recommend me? This is the kind of intensity with which he wants that job or he wants to see Mahaprabhu. So then if the owner doesn't agree, you send them subtle or direct reminders, right? With all the senior officials of the company you've befriended. And when so many people are championing your cause, maybe the owner will at least hear them out. And he says, okay. He says, no, I don't think this guy is fit for the job. But okay, since you're saying, I'll at least hear you. And maybe I'll think about giving him an interview. I'm not so sure. But then they let you on a secret. The owner will be at a cricket match next week, you know. And then you land up and ambush him and impress him with your knowledge of cricket. Right? So what happens? You get a chance meeting with him. Right? So that's what Nityanand Prabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya suggested to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Go in disguise, dress up as a common man, sweep the streets. And then when Mahaprabhu is resting, what do? Quietly go and serve him. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra used his intelligence to approach Sriman Mahaprabhu, coupled with his intense desire, which he translated into determination. Only desire is useless. It is frustrating. When you convert your desire into action through determination, whether you succeed or fail, that's secondary, but at least you try. So, despite Mahaprabhu refusing to be seen associating with the king since he was a sannyasi, he finally had to relent. And since we are, you know, every story has to have a happy ending. And since we are hearing about this and we are not covering this, but I'll let you in on what's going to happen later, is that Mahaprabhu finally met Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra took a humble position. And later when you'll read in the CC, how he got to meet Mahaprabhu. So, going back to the analogy of the job application, sometimes you can get a referral, but getting that final interview may seem impossible. And that's when having friends on the inside helps. Right? So Mahaprabhu saw Maharaj Pratap Rudra because he ticked all the boxes. A, he dressed up as a common man. So when you go for the interview, you dress up in your fancy suit or whatever. So he dressed up as a common man. And when Mahaprabhu was resting in the gardens of the Gundicha temple after the Rath Yatra, he went and started massaging Mahaprabhu's feet. And he didn't do it on his own. He did it on the basis of directions or guidance from Nityanand Prabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And while this, he beautifully sang from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Gopi Gita. Jayati tedhikam janmanavraja shrayata indira shashvadatrahi daita drishyatam dikshutavakas Tvai dhritasavas tvam vichinvate.
The gopis said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Vraja has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. And just as the gopis called out to Krishna in search of him, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, in reciting these transcendental verses, also finally found his moment with Sriman Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu embraced him with all his love. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra had the good counsel of the associates of the Lord, and now he also had the shelter of the Lord himself in the form of the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, which, as Sanatan Goswami says, Mat eka bandho, mat sangin, mat guru, man mahadhana, mad nistaraka, mad bhagya, mad ananda namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bless, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. So, what did he do? He not only took shelter of the devotees, he took shelter of Shastra, and that's how, with sadhu and Shastra, you get Krishna, right? So that's what he did. So there are many lessons we learn from this episode. Firstly, our scriptures are better than any contemporary management books, right? Here you're seeing Chaitanya Charitamrita helping you know how to crack your interview. So they teach us how to get it efficiently and effectively. So I used to think, you know, Bhagavad Gita is about life advice, Srimad Bhagavatam is about pastimes and the charitra of the Lord and his devotees. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is so esoteric that it's above my pay grade. You know, but after, you know, many years, I've come to realize that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is in fact the most practical implementation for our bhakti lives. Because, you know, we learn from the actual life and pastimes of Srimad Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates, and we follow in the footsteps of those who know Krishna's mind. Second, we also see that when Maharaj Pratap Rudra faced rejection from Mahaprabhu, there was a phase when he got very dejected and he wanted to give up his kingdom and become a mendicant beggar. So many times we also in our lives face certain situations where we feel that we are doing everything right, we are pressing all the right keys, we are ticking all the right boxes, but still we are not getting the results. And many a times we also get forlorn or desolate, thinking, you know, why are we doing this? What's the point? Why don't I just chuck it all? Why don't I just give it up? But then, do we attain that goal? So, when all seems bleak, you know, there's one hope in this world. And what is that? It is the associates of the Lord. It's the devotees of the Lord. And today also, while we do not have Mahaprabhu physically in our midst, we do not have Srila Prabhupada physically in our midst, but we have the devotees. And that is what keeps us going. What kept Maharaj Pratap Rudra going was association of the devotees. And that is why we should always take shelter of the devotees of the Lord and seek their advice and counsel so that we can stay firmly on the path of Krishna consciousness and not get deviated. We should not get, as you say, mati bhramit. You know, the mind goes for a toss and becomes bewildered. We should not do that. And we should always remember with full faith what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Avashya rakhibe Krishna vishwasa palan. You always should have that faith that Krishna will always protect you. He will always take care of you. Unless you have that faith, you will never be able to fight in this material world. When you come to Krishna consciousness, if you have that faith, Krishna will always protect. His devotees will always protect. That is surrender, that is sharanagati. So the devotees will always be there to show us the light through our darkest moments. And that is why this community is there for us to reach out to each other, to seek help
when we need it most, and to provide that help when others need it most. Third is that we cannot achieve anything in life without determination, perseverance, and also the proper approach. So I might have a lot of determination and perseverance, but what if I'm taking the wrong approach? So how do we know what is the right approach? We know the right approach by going to the authorities, the senior devotees, and that is what Maharaj Pratap Rudra did. He went and sought counsel of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of Nityananda Prabhu. He went and sought counsel of all the senior devotees so that he had the desire, he built upon it the determination, and then he went on the right path as shown by the parshads or the associates of the Lord. And he knew his goal was to get the mercy of Mahaprabhu, which he pursued till he achieved that goal. So the approach he took, he had determination, but the approach he took was of humility, surrender and a service attitude. So taking on the role of a humble sweeper and a servant. So we in life may have a lot of desires, we may have a lot of determination. All that makes us strong within, but also we need to be humble. The tallest tree bends the most. So we need to be humble, we need to be always in a service attitude and a mood. And this is the attitude and the mood Bhakti Vinod Thakur teaches us in Sharanagati. Sarvasya tomar charane shopiya porechi tomaro ghare. Tumi to Thakur tomar kukur. Now that I have surrendered all that I possess, I fall prostrate before your house. You're the Supreme Lord. Kindly consider me to be a household dog. And if someone like Bhakti Vinod Thakur can write this, and you know, I had always had this question that the great acharyas have written such prayers. Are they just for us so that we become humble? And the answer I got was no. It is actually what they felt. They actually felt like that. It's not that they're writing poetry just for poetry's sake. They actually felt that humble. And this is what we need to imbibe. This is what we need to inculcate within ourselves, that humility. And then only can we get mercy. Fourthly, we cannot get Krishna without the mercy of his devotees. And this is what we see in the pastime of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, getting Mahaprabhu's mercy through the recommendation and guidance of Mahaprabhu's parshads like Nityananda Prabhu. And as Narottam Das Thakur sings, He no ne tai bine bhai, Radha Krishna paite nai. Dridha kori dharo nitair pai. Without the mercy of Nitai, you cannot get Radha Krishna. Therefore, with great determination, firmly hold on to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda is the Guru. He is through whom we approach Krishna. And that's what Maharaj Pratap Rudra did. The third topic I wanted to discuss, and maybe mostly from my personal experience, is that it's very difficult to default to a thought that, okay, this is morning, is my spiritual life, I come to the temple, chant my rounds, attend class, then my material life begins, I go, start my work, and the rest of the day is, you know, I'm back to the grind, as we say. But actually, it's not so. We think that the two are unrelated and or disjointed, but maybe not. So when we are in the temple, we are chanting, we may feel very nice in the association of the devotees. When we work outside the temple, engaged in work with so-called karmis, or maybe even with the same devotees who we chanted with in the morning, but we dive headfirst into that work and losing sight of that spiritual aspect. Right? So for a devotee, all aspects of their lives Whether we may label them as spiritual, emotional, material, physical, mental, they are only one. They need to be one, spiritual. If everything is dovetailed in Krishna's service, it all begins with the mindset. Our actions are so small. I mean, does it really matter to Krishna? What we think we've done great things. But in the overall scheme of things, what are we? We're just specks, right? But the desire, the thought process, the intensity, the feeling with which they do, that's why they call Krishna Bhav Grahi Janardhan, right? So he sees the feeling in our heart. And that is why we should always try to make sure everything is spiritual in our lives. It is only then we'll be able to approach every situation with equanimity and consistency. Otherwise, we'll be like this. When we are chanting, we'll be more stable. When we are outside working, we'll be more volatile and things like that. So when we chant, we call out for Krishna's mercy. When we work, it should be to help the Krishna conscious movement, to support the temple, the community, your family. When we eat or exercise, to maintain your body, to keep it fit, to engage yourself in devotional service. When we think, to refine our intelligence and our thoughts and employ the mind in Krishna's service. When we feel, it should be to love our family, the devotees, to spread the compassion of Sriman Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada for the benefit of the entire world. That's how we should try and dovetail all our activities and make it spiritual. Because Srila Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world can live. But not only that, he also made an office where the whole world can work. He made restaurants where everyone can eat, hospitals where everyone can be cured, schools where everyone can study, and a movement in which the whole world can participate. So ISKCON is not just a temple. It's not just a movement. It is our body. Krishna consciousness is not a part of our lives. It is our life. And so let us embrace the idea that this house which Prabhupada built, we have to make it our home. In mind, body and words, and always remember Krishna and never forget him in whatever we do. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, suggestions, comments? Yes, Maharaj.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for a wonderful class. I just had a question. You begun the class about Prataparudra Maharaj and his determination. You explained how his desire through determination turned into action. And a common question that we're often asked, maybe you could tell us how you would respond, is people often ask, at what time does endeavor become over-endeavor? How do we know, as you mentioned, that, you know, we, for anything, even in Krishna consciousness, we have to endeavor, we have to put effort, we have to be determined. At the same time, Rupa Goswami talks about prayasas, which is, you know, over-endeavor. So can you just tell us how you normally respond to that?
Sure, Maharaj, I'll try to answer that question. So I'll speak from my experience, is that whenever I have desired something in life, I have just ran it through a filter. First, is that desire correct or not? Should I be having that desire or not? If I feel that maybe this desire is something I should not be dealing with, then I try to deal it with my intelligence and get rid of it. And I don't try to apply the mind to anything because the mind is very tricky. So I try to use my intelligence and get that desire away. But if I feel that that desire is something I should pursue, then the first thing I would try and do is try to reference it with some senior devotees or some, you know, what I've read in Shastra, or with, even if it's outside in my work or something, some form of authority. So for example, if I have a desire to, you know, enhance my career or something like that. Of course, I will also talk to devotees if it fits into the overall scheme of things as me, for me as a devotee, but I'll go to the subject matter experts also. If I get proper response from all of these, and or at least a large majority of these people, because everyone will not be saying the same thing, then I rethink about it, and then I reconsider that desire, and then I think of an action plan to make sure that I achieve that desire and translate it into reality. And then I apply determination to it, and then I start pushing hard. And as I go through that process, you know, we all iterate, we understand, we make certain adjustments, changes. But if I'm convinced that the ultimate goal is something I should achieve, then I will go on. And maybe I die trying, but I will continue. Because if the goal is correct, for example, Maharaj Pratap Rudra's goal was to take darshan of Mahaprabhu. I mean, what better goal than that? You could spend billions of lifetimes trying that and still not give up, right? So if whatever goal is there, if I feel that, yes, this should be achieved, then I will try. Like Maharaj, I'm trying to develop taste for the holy name. I'm still trying and I don't know when I'll get it. But I think I will continue to try. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. Just to push you a bit more. What about when we know the goal is right? Like Patrabhu Rudra Maharaj, he knows his goal is to attain shelter of Mahaprabhu. So we know the goal. But he's trying to do that through a darshan of Mahaprabhu, through personal association. But then someone may come and say, if that continually is not happening, then maybe you're meant to attain Mahaprabhu's goal, the goal of Mahaprabhu, through another way. So you're not giving up the goal, but you change your direction of trying how to achieve that goal. Like our goal is to please Srila Prabhupada in service. So that goal will never change and we'll die trying for that goal. But do we die trying a different way sometimes? Like, how do we know when to change the route? Because endeavor is becoming over-endeavor.
Yes, Maharaj. So again, I'll answer from whatever little I know. Is that in Maharaj Pratap Rudra's case, and we see this with many devotees, they all want the association, the physical association of the Guru Maharaj, right? Everyone wants to serve Guru Maharaj, everyone wants to serve the senior Vaishnavas. And many a times it's said that, you know, it's serving the instructions of the Guru is more important than serving the Guru himself. But still we desire to do that. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra, as you rightly said, could have pivoted and said that, okay, Mahaprabhu is not giving darshan, but so what? I can always serve Mahaprabhu and serve in his mission, his movement. But what propelled him on, I feel, and what would propel me on also, was that he was egged on by the devotees, seeing his desire. So he had it by authority of Nityananda Prabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that it was the right thing to do, to seek Mahaprabhu's darshan. And that's why he went on. If someone senior to you tells you that, okay, you have this desire, wonderful, but isn't it better if you could do it in some other way because this is not happening and this is seeming to be an over-endeavor? Then yes, you relent, you change track. But when your guide, your mentors, your shiksha gurus are telling you that no, you should go and see Mahaprabhu, then why not? Then you go on and you press on. So Mahaprabhu's darshan or bust. Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, I have a simple question. Yes. I'm not regular to this temple. While I was coming, I was ironing my kurta, and an overwhelming desire, since we're on the topic, is a controversial one, but it is to, I wanted to hug Gopal. okay, did that desire come from me or did that desire come from him? That's my question.
You wanted to hug Gopal.
Yeah, it was an overwhelming feeling. It's very simple, controversial. But Krishna.
Why is wanting to hug the deity of the Lord controversial? It is the inherent nature of the soul to want to be with the Lord. So there's nothing controversial or nothing bad to feel about it. Of course, you need to have proper bath and you need to be clean to approach the deity. And I mean, apart from that, I don't see in Jagannath Puri Yatra, when Jagannath is on his chariot, even a dog is allowed to go and touch him, you know, technically. So, I mean, I've also gone on his rath and hugged him. So, anyone and everyone, that's why he comes out. That time he's Patita Pavan, he's just giving mercy, he's raising even the most fallen souls. So your desire is a very good desire. You should fuel that desire, but in a proper way, with proper guidance.
Thank you so much. Was it my desire or does the desire come from the Lord?
If it's inside you, it's yours, right?
Hare Krishna. I'll go back to the question by Keshav Swami Maharaj. Going back to when Prayas, and he asked the question, well, the second part of that, when you are endeavoring and then you change your... So now, even as devotees, we have that desire to get bhakti in. But over time, the process, we change. And personally, growing up in Vrindavan, seeing how, you know, over the many years, seeing how initially the desire was correct, or, you know, according to how our scriptures or how process teaches us everybody should get. But over time, we see that the desire transforms. The process changes. Like we come take shelter of Prabhupada, but then after some time in Vrindavan we see the desire is still wanting Krishna, but the process changes and sometimes we go to other Babas, other sadhus. So now, is that an over-endeavor? Because, you know, we didn't find it in the same process and we said, okay, we need to go somewhere else. Or is that acceptable? Because the desire is still Krishna, but for them, they didn't find it through the process which we started off with. But they still have the goal, like, look, I am looking for something. And now they've gone to some other path. So that's where for me, is that an over-endeavor? Like, okay, Ati, you know, you've gone a bit too far. You haven't stuck to the process. So that's what for me was a bit.
Okay. So suppose you want to board a flight and there are 7 queues. And you're in one of them. Right? And suddenly you jump from one queue to the other and then to the other and to the other. What are your chances of making it to the boarding gate in time?
All the queues are coming there.
Yeah, but you're just jumping from one to other. So what happens is you'll get frustrated, you'll get confused, you'll keep looking at your watch. If you've taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, then why should the process change? But I just read from what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm your dog at your doorstep. Does a dog leave his master? No. So, I saw this. I was traveling through the streets of London and I saw that there's all these fancy people with fancy dogs walking out in the evening. And, you know, the dogs have a muzzle, they have a leash, but still they are going so excited, tongues hanging out, smelling this, that, looking here, there. But at the end, the owner is holding the leash. And I want to be that dog whose leash is very short and Prabhupada never leaves it. That is the only way I'll get back home, otherwise I'll get lost. So if you have that kind of feeling, then you will never go astray. Unless you have faith, unless you have, and this is a word used for Matajis, but you have to have spiritual chastity. Unless you are chaste in your heart, spiritually, you will never ever get mercy of the Lord.
Can I go on that one?
Yes, please.
So now, you've talked about, yes, we have to have spiritual chastity, but at the same time, the soul is seeking, you know, the desire. So now, if I haven't found that here, he's still seeking the ultimate pleasure. He's not left Krishna. He still wants that. So somehow this path, this practice hasn't brought him that. So taking the example of the dog you've given, if the master hasn't been good to the dog, or he hasn't helped the dog get there, the dog, usually we see in movies, you know, they throw something and the dog leaves and does all that. So wouldn't that also be seen that a dog, you know, if it's not been looked after or it hasn't been given that love and affection, he will go to some other master to find that, where he can feel that?
See, end of the day, it's our choice. The biggest advantage of spiritual life is it is voluntary. No one has forced us to come here. No one has forced us to join this movement. And no one is forcing us to stay on. So if you feel you're not getting the kick you should get, then the world is open to you. But having said that, I will quote from Surdas. Mero anath, and I'll translate it for you. Mero man anath kaha sukh paave. Jaise udi jahaj ko panchi, phiri jahaj par aave. Kamal nain ko chhaadi mahatam aur dev ko dhaave. Param gang ko chhaadi piyaso durmati koop khanaave. Jin madhukar ambuj ras chakhyo kyon kareel phal khaave. Surdas prabhu kaam dhenu taji cheri kaun duhaave. I'll translate it for you. When there is a bird on a ship in the middle of the ocean, the bird can fly away from the ship. But where will it come back to? It has to come back to that ship. When I have the Ganga flowing next to me, why should I dig a well on the banks of the Ganga to quench my thirst? When I have the Kamdhenu offering me her milk, why should I drink a goat's milk? When I am that bee who's got the lotus nectar, why should I go elsewhere? So that is the point. If Krishna is perfect, Krishna's words are perfect, his pure devotees are perfect. I'm saying pure devotees. His pure devotees are perfect. The process is perfect. Our implementation, acceptance, or practice may be imperfect because we are imperfect. So sometimes the fault may lie in us, not in Krishna or the process. So then we need to introspect. And when you're not finding that buzz here and you want to go there, chances are you'll not find it anywhere. Right? Because that's stemming from the mind. So as I said, the mind is a very fickle object, and that is what needs to be kept under control. Yes, Prabhu.
Unfortunately, I've left my glasses, but I may struggle through this quote. It's okay, it's quite big print. This is December 19th. It's on the transcendental calendar. It's a letter to Srila Prabhupada from Jaya Pataka Swami, December 19th, 1972. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter or whatever I am meant to be doing, let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. And then it says, to every detail, let me do it with my full attention. Let me do it to thy full attention, no matter what it is. For it is my to become completely absorbed in this service, considering, without considering or forgotten, we've forgotten my desires to do the best for Krishna's alone pleasure. That's my motive. So our motive must come from inside, as you were saying. It must be there. And this is such a short quote, because Dayapataka Swami says in this full letter, which he's quoted, he says there's so many difficulties, so many people quarreling. And they say, and Prabhupada explained, that actually they're not so advanced in Krishna consciousness. They're squabbling amongst themselves. They see each other's only each other's differences. And so the secret alone is that really whatever we do is to do it for Krishna's pleasure. Whatever we do, wherever we are, initiated, uninitiated, children, all of it, we do it for Krishna's alone pleasure. That's what Krishna Club's here. You know, we're teaching them so many things. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, as the song goes, whatever I do it for you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.